Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. From the 14th to the 15th of November, the Courtyard of the Gentiles project, sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Culture, whose president is Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi, travelled to Albania's capital, Tirana, to discuss what non-believers believe in. On the 14th, the courtyard was located in Tirana's Cathedral Square, where three marquees were set up to debate three different issues: work ethics, spirituality and media. On the second day, the courtyard moved to the students' hall of two different Albanian universities. Claudia Bumci of our Albanian programme travelled with the courtyard to Tirana, reporting on these events, witnessing them firsthand. I spoke to her following her return and began by asking her something about the Tirana she grew up in. Claudia Bumci, you're Albanian. You were born in Tirana when there was an atheist regime. It was atheist by constitution, is that correct?
Yes, the regime was established in 1945. After the Second World War, and I was born just a month after the regime decided to close all the churches, all the mosques, and decided to be atheist, decided that the religion was not important anymore for Albania and for Albanian people. They baptized me in my apartment in Tirana without any witness.
Claudia explained to me how when she received the sacrament of baptism at the hands of an undercover priest in the safety of her home, so bad was persecution in Albania at the time that even witnessing such an event might cost a stint in jail.
So that was the situation when I was born.
So it was a regime of persecution of Catholics and of people who belong to other religions as well, no?
Yes, they put in prison priests, nuns, and other religious people, even lay people who proclaim their faith. For example, when I was in high school, I said once that I was of Catholic origin, and I risked to be expelled from all of the schools of Albania. It was my teacher that loved me that said to the director, "No, I haven't heard that word from her, so somebody lied."
So she denied it.
Yeah, she denied it, and I was saved.
So interestingly then, you went back to Tirana just recently to cover an interesting story for the Courtyard of the Gentiles project. What do non-believers believe in? It's kind of ironic, you know, the change of shift from your childhood and your school years to what you were reporting on now as a journalist.
It was really interesting because when the regime ended at 1990, the Catholics were not what they were once for the society. That means the elite of the society. Because the regime, of course, didn't permit to their children to go to the university to become anybody.
It's a communist process, isn't it? It happened elsewhere as well, to stunt people's intellectual growth, Catholics' intellectual growth in this case.
Exactly. And now the Catholics are again looking for a new contribution to the society. I have found Catholics in the government. I have found Catholics in the parliament. I have found Catholics as philosophers, as sociologists. And they...
So you say this with an element of surprise.
Yes, exactly, exactly. They have done even an analysis of the society that I would never expect, because they were not there just for the sake of being, you know, just to say what their theories could be on the theme of the Courtyard of the Gentiles, but they analyzes the society, putting their fingers to problems to be solved in a certain way, and they proposed even the ways. For example, on November 14th, there were a great feast of the youth in the courtyard near to the St. Paul's Cathedral in Tirana. They set up three tents, one on labor, one on spirituality, and one on media world. And they said, for example, the young people, but even the philosophers and other intellectuals that were there, said that, for example, one interesting thing could be teaching ethics from the fifth class of the school. Now they don't do it like this, but the problems of Albania, the global crisis, and what they lived with communism, just
the legacy of communism,
yes, made them think that ethics are really important in the life of society and not only just as knowledge. You know, they have asked to the church to have a special attention for the Catholic of nowadays, because they have passed through the communist regime and they have experienced the survival of the faith without the institution. So the relationship of the Albanian Catholic with the institution of the church is different from the relationship of another Catholic that lives, for example, in Italy. Another thing that they said, the Albanian Catholic is more lay in respect of a Catholic in other parts of the world.
What does that mean?
Because there are different religions in Albania. So, for example, if Catholics ask for religion teaching in the school, of course, that would be even for Muslims, for Orthodox, for Bektashi, for Evangelicals, and so on. So it's not possible to do something like that.
But are Catholics a minority? Or
Catholics are, let's say, 13% of the
population. Religious makeup.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. 20% are Orthodox and the rest are principally Muslims. And now we have Evangelicals and Protestants in general.
Muslims because of the Ottoman legacy, no?
Yes, yes.
There's a reason for that.
Yes. In fact, you cannot find fundamentalists in Albania because they are of Turkish tradition. They are Muslims, but I mean, they recognize human rights and all the discussions done in the Western countries.
Mm. What struck you most about this meeting, which was presided over by Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi, you know?
Yeah, well, if I have to choose, I would choose the curiosity of the people. I mean, people didn't know very well what does it mean, dialogue between believers and not believers. But they have seen these three tents. They have seen the stage with religious leaders, artistic expression of the different religions in Albania, and they had the curiosity to know what these people were doing there. They came in the courtyard and then they stayed to listen. So it was really very cold in Albania that Monday, but people stayed there till 9:30 p.m. And even the religious leaders said, okay, you are staying here, even if it's really very cold. That means that you are strong believers, or what we are saying is so interesting that don't permit you to go away.
Claudio, the second day, on the 15th of October, the courtyard of the Gentiles moved to Tirana's universities, a familiar place for you, perhaps.
One is a state university of Tirana. I have done the state university of Tirana too. The other is the European university.
So there were two universities.
Private, yes, is a private university, but it offers a good level of education. It was really interesting because even the professors of the universities gave testimony of their faith during communism and after communism. At the European University, we had more non-believers. One of them especially have quoted Pope Paul VI, Pope Benedict XVI, and spoke about universal brotherhood. Now, I understood that that was a discussion made for the occasion, but he felt that he could not afford a discussion on non-believings with the believers.
So can I ask you one last question? The theme of the two-day event focused precisely around what non-believers believe in. Did any one of these non-believers reply to that question specifically?
Well, they said that they believe in something else. So, for example, in universal brotherhood, in ethics. So these are meeting points with the believers. Mm. So about these values, we can discuss with them. But don't ask them to believe in God. I mean, they believe in all the values of the believers, but not in God because they cannot see God. That was the point.
And I was speaking there to Claudia Bumci, who's just returned from Tirana, where she witnessed firsthand the courtyard of the Gentiles Project, first called for by Benedict XVI in 2009. Our thanks go to her. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for joining me.